It's a really exciting time for our school district. Our voters have been very supportive. We have a $122 million bond that we're spending on improvements in our facilities, building a brand new school, basically rebuilding Glenwood Springs Elementary School, plus the business of running the schools, working hard to make sure that every day is better than the last.
Speaking of the new schools, what's the timeline with East Bank? This is a pre-K through 8th grade campus in Glenwood?
Yeah. East Bank is actually a nickname for a site about halfway between Carbondale and Glenwood Springs. It will be an additional Glenwood Springs K through 8 school. It's actually preschool through 8 school. The reason we're building the school is because all of our Glenwood elementary and middle schools are overcrowded. So that's to really relieve overcrowding.
Why does the word equity come up when you talk about enrollment boundaries and class size and stuff?
Go back to Brown versus Board of Education, the landmark Supreme Court case in the 1950s, which determined that separate but equal is inherently unequal. And so we in our community and in our nation want integrated schools. Unfortunately, after more than a half century, schools today in the United States are more segregated than they were before Brown versus Board of Ed. We have a very interesting circumstance here in our communities where our schools are very integrated. We have two dominant cultures. Folks around here talk about the Anglo and the Latino cultures, and our schools are blended. They're very balanced. And so as we build new schools, we want to preserve that diversity and that integration.
Talk about how the school district is addressing the digital divide with laptops and even Wi-Fi in some areas.
I'm learning some interesting things about this digital divide, or the homework divide, as some people call it. I remember I did a student teaching project more than 30 years ago where we were wondering, in the future after the year 2000, will there be a computer in every home? Now here we are, well after the year 2000, and the device part has been resolved. It's very easy to get a device, a mini laptop, a Chromebook, a tablet into every kid's hands. The unit price is about $200. The hard part is the internet. By this year, we'll have a one-to-one device relationship in all of our schools for fourth grade on up. But we don't yet have internet access in the home. And these devices are dependent on internet access to do homework, to do research, to collaborate, all the reasons we want to use these devices.
Unfortunately, sometimes this digital divide can end up even exacerbating that homework gap. You have two different students who go home with the same device to very different home situations.
Exactly. So what are we doing about it? We're trying a number of things. One is a very exciting pilot in Glenwood Springs where we've partnered with the city of Glenwood to essentially broadcast wireless into a mobile home community, because those are high density communities with limited access in each home. And what we're finding, because we can track the use of our district devices, their Chromebooks, that students are actually using those devices in those communities to do their homework. So it's working. That's one approach. Another is that we've partnered with Comcast on their Internet Essentials program, which provides $9.99 monthly internet access for people who qualify for free or reduced price lunch. We made an agreement with them that basically our entire school district qualifies. So we're working to sign up families who want. They still have to pay $10 a month, but that's much more affordable than the broadband rates that most of us have to pay at home. One story that I found fascinating is that because we've pushed out Chromebooks to all of our different schools in different ways, and we really asked them to determine how to figure this out, we had these two elementary schools, one of which said, we really want to protect these devices and keep them safe. So they tightly controlled student access. Every day they had to check them out. Every night they returned them to the cart. In another school, they said, hey, these are yours. Take good care of them. Personalize them and make them your own. And so these kids put stickers and covers on their devices in order to personalize and customize them, and they let the kids take them home if they wanted. Well, we have very low breakage rate anyway across the district. Our attrition rate so far in the third year is like only 4%. These things are durable and they're lasting. But where we let the kids have control of their own devices, the break rate was lower. And that was an interesting experiment too, because it means that we can lend the Chromebooks and let the kids take them home, and we already know that they care about them and they'll take good care of them.
It's not just a technology solution, you're also building character.
Right, right, and responsibility, which is one of the things we want our kids to develop.
Amazing that the results show that when they are given more trust, they take better care.
Yep, so parents, trust your kids.
We're talking to Superintendent Rob Stein from the Roaring Fork School District. There's a lot of discussion about affordable housing in the region, Willits and Basalt, but where does the school district stand broadly on this topic?
I need to say, first of all, that educators, teachers, and administrators in our country are woefully underpaid. In Colorado, they're even more underpaid than in other states in the nation. There are various ways of ranking, but we always come in the bottom five. That said, an especial pain point in our community is housing prices. And that's not just teachers. That's everybody who lives here know that housing is a real crisis. And if we want to attract and retain talent in our schools, we have to figure out solutions to housing. So part of this bond was $15 million directed specifically to staff rental housing, $5 million in each community, and we think we'll be able to achieve 50 or 60 units to get us started on a rental program for our teachers.
So speaking of bond projects, one of the things people are real excited to hear more about soon is this potential new solar array for Glenwood Springs Elementary. When you look at Roaring Fork High School in Carbondale and you see those solar arrays, do you get that same sort of sense of excitement that I do?
Yeah, we think it's really cool. And that's also really who our community is. That solar array at Roaring Fork High School was a strong partnership with the town of Carbondale. Really reflects our values as a school district too. We're excited to be expanding that to other schools. And so, you know, obviously there's cost savings, but it's really good for our environment. And we want to be modeling as adults the kind of living we want our kids to follow.
Why do you think the legislature has continued to fail to fund education sufficiently?
Colorado has a very complicated funding environment. There's an interaction of a number of state amendments in our Constitution that make it impossible for the legislature to approve funding increases. And we haven't yet agreed as a state what our budget priorities are and how we're going to untangle the fiscal knot in Colorado.
When I talk to young people in Carbondale, they honestly don't sound too concerned about testing, about bullying, about drugs. But I bet you can guess their biggest gripe.
Let me guess, it's food.
Right. So school lunches. Teens here are pretty health conscious. What are the challenges to supplying kids not just healthy, but fresh food?
One of the biggest challenges is the law of unintended consequences. Ironically, the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, which has been enacted in schools, it's a federal legislation that basically dictates that school lunches will be healthier, and it restricts some ways we prepare food, the kinds of food we prepare, when and how we serve the food. It's made it harder for us to serve locally grown and scratch-cooked food, in part because the regulations are so restrictive that we have to monitor things like fat and salt content, and we don't have capacity to do that. So it forces us to buy prepackaged foods from larger industries. And so we're not serving as palatable food as we would if we were less regulated. And I would argue our school would be equally or more healthy. It's been a real challenge for us. It's also restricted the market of providers. And so there are some of our providers have a monopoly in our region because they have to be approved as providers for Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act approved foods. And so it's driven up costs. So now our costs are higher, kids like the food less, and I would argue it's less healthy because it's less scratch cooked and less homegrown.
Dr. Rob Stein, superintendent of the Roaring Fork School District, thanks so much for speaking with Katie and Kay.
Thank you very much for having me.